Today, we want to think on the message, especially loved and chosen. And our key verse is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. And it says this, "Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God." I want to read that once more. "Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God." Now, there is that sense in which every person is loved by God. And one of our favorite verses and most well-known verses is John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world." And that's why he sent his son, because he loved everybody in the world. But the child of God is singled out here and is the special object of God's love. The Greek form of the word beloved, which we see in verse 4, gives this thought: I am presently the object of his love and affection. It has the thought of another word that we find in the epistle of Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, we read this: "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation." Now notice, "a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him that hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Now notice it says that the believer is a part of a peculiar people. And the word peculiar here does not mean weird. It means a people for a possession, or a possessed people. So the believer is one who has been purchased by God and is set apart to him. And he or she, whether it's a man or a woman, is God's special possession, set apart, belonging especially to him. And so when you think of all the people in the world, everyone who is a true believer, who has received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, is God's special possession, and they've been set apart, belonging especially to him. Now this is one, is especially loved by God. His love and affection is poured out upon the believer in a special way. I grew up on a farm about 20 miles south of Waterloo, Iowa, and with the school in the town of Dysart, Iowa. And in my class, there were several boys that belonged to the 4-H. And they would purchase a calf and separate that calf from all the other cattle, and they would feed it specially feed it and pet it many times and comb it, and it became the center of attention for that person or those people, and it became the object of that person's special care. Now this one he purchased and selected to be the one that would enter the ring at the fair and be proudly shown before the judges. Now the brethren, the believer, as we see in 1 Thessalonians 4, is set apart to God and is the object of God's special love, care, and attention. That love is not based upon one's performance or how they live, but upon our relationship. Because even after we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we still sin. And there are times when we displease God and may have to be chastened or disciplined, as the Bible says. But that doesn't change His love for us. In fact, even chastening is because of His love for us. In Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, we read this: "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourges every son whom He receives." Now, there's many a parent who raise their children, and if their children are disobedient, they have to discipline their children. And that's how God does with us who are believers. When we sin against Him or disobey Him, He chastens us because He loves us and He wants to draw us closer to Him. Now, this one that He loveth will forever be on display as a trophy of God's love and grace. Again, I want to read that key verse: "Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God." So, knowing, brethren, beloved, that you are especially loved by God. And we need to remember that every one of us who have received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior are especially loved by God. We're set apart unto Him. And there's a day. Let me read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 7. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 7. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved." And so we were born sinners, but when we received Christ as our Savior, we were quickened, or we were given new life, eternal life. And then he goes on in verse 6, and let me read verse 5 again. "He quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." So when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are made a child of God, and we are given a new life. And that is eternal life. And we live on this earth with eternal life. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. But when we leave this life, we're going home to heaven, and we'll be with Jesus forever and ever. And just as that 4-H boy or girl would take their 4-H calf and take them to the fair and would put them in the ring so that they were on display as their special 4-H calf, so we who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior will be with the Lord forever, and we will be God's eternal child on display, so to speak. And God will recognize us as his child, and we will be set apart from everybody else that's in the world that don't receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, because we are a child of God, specially loved by God, and specially called for a definite purpose in this life, to live for the Lord and to please him in everything we do. And so I pray that each of you listening to this message, number one, have recognized that you're a lost sinner and you need to receive Jesus as your Savior, because God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son into the world to die for our sin and to pay the penalty for our sin, so that if we would acknowledge that we're sinners and ask his forgiveness and ask Jesus Christ to be our Savior, then we become a child of God with new life. And one day, either when we die, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, or at the rapture, when we hear that shout and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God blow, and we're caught up to meet Christ in the air, and then we will be taken to stand before the throne of God, and we will ever be acknowledged as a child of his, one that was specially loved by God, and we will forever be his child under his care and in his presence. And what a blessing that will be. So even though God loved everybody and he sent his Son to die for our sin, yet when we receive Jesus as our Savior, we become the object of God's special love and care, and we can ever be thankful for being acknowledged in such a special way by the Lord for this. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you that you are our God and Heavenly Father. And Father, I thank you that you loved us in sending your Son, Jesus, to come to the cross and die as our sacrifice and as our substitute. And thank you, Father, that when we ask you to forgive our sin and receive Jesus as our personal Savior, that we became your child, having everlasting life. And we thank you, Father, that when our life is over here on earth, you're going to take us home and we'll be the special objects of your love for all eternity. And we thank you and praise you for this wonderful truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, just this comment, if you have never yet asked Jesus to be your Savior, to ask him to forgive your sin and receive Jesus into your heart and life and to be your Savior, then I want to encourage you to make that decision today so that you know that you have eternal life and you know that you're the special object of his love and affection. And you know that when life is over here, you're going home to heaven to be with the Lord forever and ever. And I want to encourage you to make that decision if you never have. Thank you for listening.